Blog Talk Radio.
Another show of Suspense Radio one-on-one here, partnered up with PartnersInCrimeTours.net. Today we have a fantastic author called Cy Weiss. She is going to be sharing her book, Dimorphic, along with a couple other things that she has written. We want to also remind you that all the shows here on Suspense Radio Network here are all brought to you by KensingtonBooks.com. That includes Crime and Science Radio, of course, hosted by Doug Lyle and Jan Burke. So make sure you go to KensingtonBooks.com for more information on their authors and their new releases and, of course, all of their past stuff, like Kevin O'Brien and Lisa Jackson. So without any further ado, let's hop right in here to our guest. She just got off tour, but now she's kind of back on tour with another book. So we're going to kind of get into both. So, Cy, thank you so much for coming on today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks.
So, again, you kind of just got off tour in February with the book Dimorphic, but then you're going to be on with another one that's here in March. But let's kind of go back and let's go with the first book here, Dimorphic. It's a very the cover is very cool. I love the yin and yang. I love how that is done, and it's a very unique thriller mystery genre here. And I want you to be able to kind of explain this because when you kind of read the synopsis, you kind of have a couple things going on that, you know what, it kind of gets you very intrigued with what you have written.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, the synopsis was easy to write, I guess. It really does cover most of the book. It's, of course, a bit tongue-in-cheek. So first discover a superpower. I've been thinking quite a lot about what would happen if a person could actually be both male and female. And what I came up with was this special power. So Judith, the main character, is a twin, and her brother, Ethan, he has a motorcycle accident and becomes brain dead. But what Judith finds is that from the time he's brain dead on, when she goes to sleep, she switches bodies. So in effect, she's both male and female, sort of alternately. And I wondered, as a superpower, as a fan of comic books and superheroes, I wondered what kind of power this would be, what kind of power it would give you. So if I plunked her in, say, a pretty ordinary gangster novel, I wondered what kind of power being able to be both male and female would give her against her opposition.
Yeah, I would have to say, boy, if I ever became a woman just for like 5 minutes, I would probably freak out because you guys go through a lot of stuff. I'm just telling you, especially if I happen to hit it on the wrong time of the month. So that would definitely be different. Is that something that you wanted to kind of explore? Because it's a big emotional challenge, not just physically, of course, on the outward appearances, but on the inward appearances. Did you want your character to kind of have to experience all those emotional aspects and all those things that, you know, being a male and being a female have to do besides just the outward appearance?
Well, the book is probably R-rated, but I didn't want it to be X-rated. So I left quite a bit out that, you know, probably would occur to people if they suddenly became the other genre. But yeah, I did want to explore mostly the emotional differences between being male and being female. Now, one thing is that Judith is really the same consciousness in both bodies. So there's a bit of continuity there. And she has memories of being female. And then when she's female again, she has memories of being in her brother's body. So there is quite a bit of continuity, and she's somewhat the same in both bodies. The main thing she notices physically is that Ethan is a lot stronger. He's a gymnast. He's a parkour expert. And so he's really everything that she would have thought a hero would be. He's very physically adept. Now, Judith, on the other hand, is a little bit clumsy. She's not as strong. She notices that right away, that, for example, she's able to do a lot of pull-ups as Ethan, but not as herself, of course. But I have to say, emotionally, I thought that, in particular because it's Judith in both bodies, I thought the differences would actually be fairly minimal. You know, they're identical twins. They've grown up together. They know each other really well. And so I think that a lot of the differences would be actually external to them. And at one point in the book, I have Judith say to another character that what she thinks the biggest difference is the way other people treat them. So she can say one thing, for example, as Judith, as herself, and people might dismiss her, whereas when she says it as Ethan, then all of a sudden everybody's interested and they believe her. So she's found things like that, that really it's essentially the way people treat her in this day and age, which is not to say there aren't physical differences, but really the main one is external.
Now, within the synopsis too, the third one, where it says most important, hire a mentor, preferably not a vicious mobster with a god complex. However, this may realistically be your only choice. You got to expand on that one.
Yeah. I don't know how the realistically is in there, but she meets this this man, Jack, and he's Asian, or half Asian actually, and he's really kind of an enigma to her. He meets her, or she meets him, almost by accident. She's just kind of drawn to a shop that his sidekick, Goom, owns, a comic shop. And she's in Ethan's body. She gets into a fist fight with Goom, and then Jack comes and breaks it up. And that's how she meets him. And Jack is an interesting character. He was originally going to be a villain. But when I really got in depth with the character and I started thinking about backstory for him and started thinking about his relationship with his friend, Goom, I realized I liked the character too much. I didn't want to have him be on the wrong side of the stick, so to speak. And so I turned him into a good character, and he turns out to be her mentor. He's a martial artist, so he can teach her in Ethan's body how to fight. And it turns out he's also, yes, a mobster with a god complex, unfortunately. But he's kind of an anti-hero then in that sense, in that he's some people would think him a villain still because he is a hitman, but he's a hitman who really only goes after people that are more vicious than he is. So he won't, for example, kill women, which gives him a big disadvantage if there's actually a woman mobster that he's facing. And so in future books, if there were any, that might come out and bite him in the butt, so to speak.
Hence, that's where the emotional pull starts to weigh on him, and he has to start figuring out certain things. And it's funny that, of course, you know, you use the term anti-hero because I'm a huge comic book person, and you said that you're a huge comic book person, and that's kind of how, you know, people are describing, you know, like Catwoman and Deadpool and those types of characters now that were, of course, that we've known for years. But of course, Deadpool with the movie that just come out, people don't, I think, understand exactly what he is and who he is and what anti-hero means. And so how much of those comic book kind of things did you pull from? Because it's so unique when you're into comic books and you're creating characters, and they can do so many different things, and they can kind of be whatever they want to be. When you decided to start doing your character development and getting more into the book here, Dimorphic?
Well, at the time I was reading the Sin City series.
Now that's got beautiful series. Quite, Frank Miller, that was awesome, yeah.
Yep, and that's got quite a series of anti-heroes in it. And I also, this was when I was originally starting Dimorphic. This was around the time of the Kick-Ass movie. So I got the Kick-Ass books as well. And so those were kind of two of the examples that I followed, or two things that I had in my mind when I was writing Dimorphic. And I have to say Deadpool is a great comparison as well, even though it's a bit more recent than Dimorphic. Because it really is this idea that, you know, unlike Batman, and Batman never kills the villain. He never shoots anyone. He doesn't use a gun. He's really sort of your more classic, you know, hero on a white knight on a horse. Mm-hmm. And then you have Deadpool, who goes around shooting the villains in the head, you know, and sometimes there's collateral damage, and he's just like, oh, oops. And this is more like Jack. It's more like the kind of thing that's going on in Dimorphic, where Judith, she's always wanted to be a superhero. She's sort of steeped in this comic book realm from when she was a small child, and she thinks that now that she's inherited Ethan's body, oh wow, I can be a superhero. You know, that's all it takes, and you know, I can be male, and if I'm male, then I can be a superhero. And she discovers that it's not really that simple, for starters, because she meets Jack, who one might say is a hero in many ways, but also he has this very dark side to him, because he is a murderer. And so she ends up herself being a murderer, and she really doesn't sit well with her emotionally. That's very, very hard for her to take, because she had thought that she would be a more Batman type of hero, a real classic hero and not the anti-hero.
Now, your background, of course, you have a PhD in computer science, and do you put a lot of, you know, your educational experiences and those kinds of things within the book, not necessarily in the forefront, but do you kind of use it subtly, going through the book?
I think all of my books, they rely on technology at some level. Because it's always there. It's ubiquitous, like it is in our society today. And I think Dimorphic probably relies on it a bit less, although Jack, of course, being a former special ops, has a lot of technology at his beck and call. And so I relied on my background for, finding out some of the things that he might have, such as these night vision goggles or bug detectors or these chips, just little tiny thin wafers that are tracking devices that you can put on someone or someone's vehicle and then track using your smartphone. And so Goom, I think, who's Jack's sidekick, his friend, Goom is the one who's their sort of chief technology officer, and he's the one who deals with that. Goom's an interesting character. He sort of came about as a joke originally, and then, as I say, kind of like with Jack, as he developed and as his relationship with Jack developed, I realized I really liked Goom as well, and I gave him more of a solid position as their chief technology officer. And Goom sometimes seems like he's the only sane one of the bunch. He's sort of looking at everything, thinking, you know, gee, what's going on here? You people are all crazy. And sometimes he's a little bit right.
And isn't that funny that when you start writing and you start getting into it, all of a sudden, and it always happens, because I ask the question a lot, is there's always that secondary character that had a bigger voice than you originally thought they would. It's like they just threw themselves to the forefront, and it happened right there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and Goom is definitely that person, that character.
And luckily they do that, because it's those secondary characters that round out the whole story. If they were in the background too much and it was literally just hero-villain, hero-villain, hero-villain the whole time, I think it would get a little bit boring, and you need those secondary ones to bring everything together and make it just so much more depth.
Yeah, I agree. The heroes need sidekicks. And there were two sidekicks in Dimorphic, one for Ethan and one for Judith. So Judith is Blaze, this pyromaniac. In the summary, she's the pyromaniacal syncophant. And then there's Goom, who is Eason's sidekick, really, as well as Jax, and he's the foul-mouthed midget. So I got to do two sidekicks.
And that's very interesting because they're both, because when you have, you know, one body, two people, and you have such different a different dichotomy between both of them, and then you have to kind of go outside because one, you know, won't work for both. So they each kind of have to have their own, which again lends to the depth of just that one character, but has now sprung out really almost into four different people that are all tied together.
Yeah, that was interesting the way that happened. You know, because Judith, I say she's the same consciousness in Ethan's body, but she does feel a little bit different. I mean, the way people treat her is a little bit different, and so she acts differently in response, and she finds herself doing things that she might not have originally done in her own body.
Now, I want to remind everybody that we're speaking here with author Cy Weiss, and that's cywyss.com. for more information on this book, Dimorphic. But I want to leave some time here because I want to be able to get into your next book that you're actually touring on here in March, and that's called Eyeshine. And this is much different than Dimorphic. This is a little bit more straightforward, I guess you want to say, maybe mystery. Tell us about this one.
Sure. Dimorphic is really more of an R-rated action thriller. Eyeshine, on the other hand, is really more PG. It's very mild, mild violence, and almost no profanity, which Dimorphic has in spades. And Eyeshine is a cozy mystery, so that genre pretty much tells you that it's PG and everything's fairly mild and no drawn out long violence scenes like in Dimorphic. So it was really quite different to write. Eyeshine is the main concept behind Eyeshine is there's a woman, PJ, and she's a reporter by day, a freelance reporter, a freelance photojournalist, and then by night she turns into a cat. So where this came from is I was reading both the Lillian Jackson Braun series about Quillerin and his cat who solve mysteries. And I was also reading the Rita Mae Brown and Sneaky Pie Brown series.
Yeah.
And they're more the cat and the dog actually have a role in the book, and you see you often read from the cat's or the dog's perspective. And I thought, you know, we have mysteries where the cat's assist, we have mysteries where you can be in the cat's perspective. So why not a mystery where you actually were a cat for a while. So thus was born PJ, who turns into a cat every night from dusk until dawn. And, of course, then a lot of the shenanigans is she's got to keep this from everybody because, of course, people are skeptics and they don't, you know, wouldn't believe her if she says, oh, I'm a cat from dusk until dawn. And not to mention, if they did believe her, they would probably incarcerate her and insist on studying her at length. So she basically tries to keep this from everyone. And so part of the book is about how she keeps it from everyone. But really she uses this ability to investigate crimes in her little town of Mayhap, Indiana. And Mayhap is a thinly disguised version of Zionsville, which is where we live. And
I used to live in Indianapolis, so I'm familiar with that.
Oh, yeah,
area.
Okay.
Yeah, I lived at 86 in Shadeland.
Oh, wow, great. So you probably know Zionsville then.
I do.
Excellent, yeah. And so it's got, you know, a cute little bricked-in Main Street. And it's got a downtown, and then it's got it's quite rural in general, and it's fairly small. So this is Mayhap, basically. And PJ goes around with a camera as a cat. And so she gets some interesting pictures. And one thing that occurred to me that this would be kind of like, it would be kind of like Peter Parker getting his pictures as Spider-Man. So she would have these photojournalism pictures that would be from a very interesting perspective because she essentially carries around on her collar as a cat. camera, and so she gets all of these really impossible pictures of people doing things that they shouldn't really be doing, and nobody knows how she gets these, in the same way as nobody knows how Peter Parker actually gets his pictures from Spider-Man's perspective.
Yeah, I mean, you sure like to have complex characters. I will give you that one. Nothing. I mean, they're not straightforward. I mean, they, you know, the complexity of the transformation and having to go from human to cat back and forth. I mean, that's unique in writing, especially for a cozy. I mean, it's cozy. It's almost like supernatural cozy. Is kind of what this is. And so, you know, I love how you took, you know, like Rita Mae Brown, and I've interviewed her, she's great, and you kind of took that premise, but you decided, again, let's make it one person instead of two people, let's bring it down into one person, and let's see how that, you know, dichotomy works between that. Now, what was your biggest kind of, you know, struggle, you know, in writing the book? Because I mean, you just have to, if you just kind of go back and forth, she knows kind of who she is, but I just think myself, and I'm like, okay, so she's, you know, so she goes from human into cat. I'm like, where does she sleep? And does she eat cat food? You know, it's just those kinds of little things that you kind of think about. I mean, you know, how involved is she, or is the cat form basically just a disguise?
That's a interesting series of questions. Yeah, I think there are a lot of ways that that one could go with a person turning into a cat. In some ways, I downplayed it in the mystery, you know, and focused on the actual effects and just had them be had her be a cat. She's got a dog friend, Mutt, who she explores with. And in terms of where does she sleep, what does she do? One thing, I had her make herself a little cat pack. So what she has in there is some stretchy shorts and a stretchy top that are really light and travel-worthy. And so she, if she is caught out, say, in the morning, when she turns back into a person, of course she's going to be naked somewhere. So then in her cat pack, her stretchy cat pack, she has some clothes that she can get home with. And so that's kind of a concession to the logistics of how this would work. And other than that, I think she would basically kind of know. She feels the transformation coming on. So she knows she's got to leave. You know, she knows she's got just a couple minutes to leave whatever she's doing, and then she'll be a cat or she'll be a person again. And it's only really when she gets distracted by, you know, if she's a cat, she might get distracted by a mouse and then forget and turns back into a person in the middle of a field. And if she's a person, she's got to not let herself be distracted because she doesn't want to change in front of her friends.
See, that's ingenious, because you have to think about those things, because readers are very fickle and they'll catch you on the weirdest things, and you'll be like, oh my god, how did I even miss that? And but they'll catch you on it, and believe, and then they'll let you know about it. You're like, oh god, you know. So, is this kind of the genre that you see yourself continuing to write in? Kind of, you know, more of the supernatural, but set with more of the traditional genres. Is that kind of where you kind of see you're going to be living for quite some time?
I think that's right. It's the comic book background again. It somehow, there are these supernatural elements that I'd like to put into the more classic genres of, say, the thriller or the mystery, the cozy mystery. And I think the way I've said it is nonstop action with a hint of the supernatural. And so I like action a lot. I get that from the comic books as well. But then the supernatural is really that there is some kind of superpower that I like to have. But I don't go quite as far as, say, Superman or Spider-Man, where it's a power that the extent of which is not really known. Instead, I like to keep the power, the supernatural power, to something known in advance. So with Dimorphic, for example, the power is just that she, when she goes to sleep, she switches bodies. So, but then when she's in those bodies, she's a normal man and a normal woman. Mm-hmm. So, of course, her brother is quite physically fit, and he can hop around in the trees and punch bad guys out. So he's really kind of on the edge of the spectrum of men. But he's still just an ordinary man. If he gets shot, he'll drop dead. And the same thing with Eyeshine. She's turning into a cat at night, but it's just an ordinary cat. So she can't, you know, levitate anything, or she doesn't really have any sixth sense other than a cat might have, you know, like with the whiskers and feeling the air. And so she might have a little bit of a what seems like a sixth sense, but it's really just catness.
Gotcha.
So I like the supernatural aspect, but I like the sort of circumscribed supernatural aspect.
Yeah, and, you know, and there's so many different ways you can go from that, and that's the fun part. You can really explore character development. You can really explore yourself as an author and writing and how you're doing it. So it's really a very unique way of being able to expand yourself kind of as an author.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, we got about a minute or so left, and what I like to do is kind of give you the last word to be able to kind of let everybody know, you know, all your social media stuff and all the places where they can, you know, find out more information and contact you and things like that. So I will leave that up to you.
Sure. So I'm mostly at cywyss.com. That's cywyss.com. That's my homepage, and it has links to all my social media outlets. I'm on Twitter at Cy Weiss. I'm also on Facebook. I have a page, Writer Cy, and I also have an account, Cy Weiss. So feel free to look me up on either of those, or on the Twitter or on my website.
Fabulous. Well, Cy, we want to thank you so much for coming on. Good luck on this new tour with Eyeshine, and and people can know from the future. And then when they look and they'll see, you know, you have another book coming out in 2016. So you got a lot of stuff happening here. So good luck and have a lot of fun, and we will talk with you soon.
Thanks. Thanks very much for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So again, everybody, that is author Cy Weiss. And make sure that you go to cywyss.com, cywyss.com, for more information on the book Dimorphic and also the book Eyeshine, and then the new one will come out called Ballistics. That's in 2016. You'll be able to follow all of the things that she has going on. We want to thank you all for listening, of course, however, wherever, and whenever you listen to the show. It's always great to have you a part of the Suspense Radio Network with all of our shows, including Beyond the Cover, Crime and Science Radio, The Story Blender, and Inside Edition, much more. So thank you again all for listening, and until next time, like we like to say, just keep on reading. Have a good day. Bye-bye, everybody.